As a blessing.
Amen.
Yes, it was.
Tears from a broken-hearted saint bear a message from the heart of that person straight to the heart of God. God said our tears are so important, He's going to take them and put them in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
He'll record every one of them in His book. Thank you, ladies. And I want to thank you for being here.
Amen.
As I look out over the crowd, I'm looking into the faces of the people that carry the financial load for the most part of our church. I wish it wasn't so, but it has been said that 80% of the finances are provided by 20% of the people. Now, when you stop and think about that, you realize that the church has to be a miracle work of God or it couldn't make it. But think what it could do if 80% were committed to stewardship. Oh, my soul, there would be a revival like this country has never seen. I thank you for coming. I know that as Brother House stands, he's preaching by and large to the choir. You know what stewardship is. You practice it. With the exception of a couple. You know what stewardship is. You believe it. The people that aren't here are those that look at it and hope that it's some mystical thing that if they'll try it once, tomorrow they'll wake up and crows will have checks and $100 bills at their doorstep. But you know it's a process of hearing, believing, acting by faith, and giving God an opportunity to do what He promised in His time. Remember, God's timetable is not always like ours. Always, He doesn't always pour out the blessing the same week or the same year that we do the giving. But He's got it on record. And when we need it, He'll show up right on time. He always does. Thank you for being here, and thank you for your commitment to our Lord and His Word. And you listen tonight as our speaker comes to bring to remembrance those things most of us already know. Now, I would say to the young men and young ladies here, don't write notes to each other. Take notes about the lesson. You can hear something as a young person, as a teenager, that will make a difference in your adulthood. It would be foolish to wait until you're 15 or 20. Now, some of you are writing right now and not even listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look around. I'm looking at you, son. You need to listen. Truths while you're young will save you heartaches when you're older. And may God help us to listen on purpose as Dr. House comes and speaks to us.
Thank you, sir. Now, you hear your preacher all the time, and you think he's just preaching. He's just talking. 25, 30 years ago, I was with Dr. John Rollins at Landmark Baptist Temple and headed up the stewardship department there. At that time, we were running a little over 6,000 a Sunday in Sunday school, and they had never really done stewardship, so I put a brochure together, and out of the 6,000 in Sunday school, 10% of the people were giving 90% of the income. And so you preachers, right, just imagine if every Christian would just do what God wanted them to do in the relation of stewardship. Well, open your Bible tonight. We're going to get started where we left off. Matter of fact, I'm going to back up one to Deuteronomy 28. And then, as old Dr. McGee used to say, we're going to get on the gospel bus and make our way through the Bible. We're talking about the promises of God, the principles of God, the problems with the promises. And we're going to just look at promise after promise after promise after promise. If our faith is going to be increased, it's only going to be increased through the Word of God. And I'm very interested in what develops this week, even with the stewards here, as we come to look at this thing called stewardship and see what the Bible has to say about it. Just the Bible verses itself. I enjoyed the music tonight. I always do. This church I probably get more encouraged and challenged by being at this church than anywhere I go, unless it's just a little bitty baby church where everybody's just really excited about getting the gospel out. But for a church like this, I am helped greatly by being here. I don't have to get over the music before I preach. That's a help. Yeah. I was in a church in another state last month, and they had drums up here, and I didn't mind them being up there, but they played them. Well, they really didn't play them. Someone said, "What's your problem with drums in a music program?" Because there ain't never been a note of music come out of one of them. Not one time. Has there ever been a note of music? And I'd get ready to preach going like this, you know. I go, didn't really bother me, though. It's been a month, and I'm almost over it, see. It really didn't bother me. And I love sitting there waiting on the tapes to start. Poor singer. Looking. Well, it's more of a performer, but I'm almost over that, too. I'm just glad I'm here. That's what I'm saying. Yes, I am. All right, Deuteronomy 28. Let's look at the promises now. And just right out of the Word of God, Deuteronomy 28, verse 11 again, and we're not going to spend much time on this because I read it last night. "And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of the ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto the land in his season." I believe that's what the preacher was talking about a while ago. In his season. In God's season. That's when he takes care of his business. And to bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Now back up to verse 1. And we're going to kind of pick up when and how that season comes about. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do." Now, not just to hear, but to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. And all of that contingent upon us hearing and obeying the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful promises. Now we're just going to move through the Bible, and I want you to come over now to Joshua, if you would. Joshua chapter 1, very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Joshua chapter 1. You've heard this many times. It's many times used in New Year's conferences and New Year's meetings. But there's a plain promise there, and it says, if we'll meditate in the Word of God, and we won't turn to the left nor to the right, there's just the simplest statement. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Now, it's not until then, not until we're paying attention to the Word of God and considering the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. This one's quite interesting, coming from where it's coming. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. You find it in your Bible, mark it, make notes to go on your notes. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. You believe that? Do you believe if you give your life over to honor God, that God will honor you? Said he would, but he wasn't quite through. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Isn't that interesting? Wonderful promises. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Get a little 2020 stewardship vision here. 2 Chronicles 20:20. You folks are doing a lot better than the college class did this morning. The ones that were not asleep couldn't find the scriptures. 2 Chronicles 20:20. I want to read the entire verse because this stuff kind of slips up on you. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you, what's the word? Prosper. Isn't that interesting? There's sort of a double barrel thing. It puts a great, great responsibility upon the man of God to be sure he teaches properly. Amen. He just said, believe the prophet. That puts the responsibility on the prophet between him and God to be right. And then said, when you do that, so shall you prosper. That means you need to have a good listening ear. You know, isn't it interesting that the Bible says, he that hath an ear to hear? We all got ears. But a lot of times we sit in church and don't hear. One walks out and says, man, wasn't that a good sermon? Other one walks out and says, what in heaven's name was he talking about? Both heard the same thing, but one of them didn't hear. Right. All right. So the promise here is, so shall you prosper. Now let's look at the one that everyone quotes and looks at, and it's very valid to do that. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I imagine most of you can quote it. But I want you to listen carefully to it. And if you happen to be using an old Scofield Bible, I love the introduction under Psalm 1 where it says, the Psalm of two ways. There is a right way and there is a wrong way. And there ain't no middle ground. All right. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, we got a contrast coming, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, what will prosper? What does the Bible say will prosper? Whatsoever he doeth. Someone said, well, that's just not reasonable. Now, we tried to leave reasonable and logical at the wayside Sunday night. We want to include God. And when you include God, there's something that rises above reason. Someone said, well, no one can be a good success in all that he does. Well, let's scratch that one out then. Let's just tear that sheet out. Let me hear the pages ripping. Just jerk it out of your Bible if it's not true. But it is true. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Notice on your note sheet there, talking about the man, blessed is the man. You can put yourself right there. And the negative principles, he doesn't walk, he doesn't stand, he doesn't sit with people that are not of the right mindset. He just doesn't mess with them. Now, we're in a society today where we're to open our church up to everything and just condone everything. And, you know, if they don't like doctrine, we'll get rid of the doctrine. And if they don't like our music, we'll change our music. And if they don't like us preaching on stewardship, we won't say a word about money. We're going to dumb everything down. Now, really what the Bible says, you stay away from them except when you're carrying the gospel to them. You know, just don't mess with them. And the positive principles, verse 2, you delight. What do you delight in? The law of the Lord. And you meditate day and night. And then the results, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's pretty good. Fellow born in Myrtle Springs, do you understand that if he'd read it? Psalm 37:4. It's one of my favorite verses. I use it all the time. You certainly, if you've been here in the past, have it marked up by now. But turn over there in your Bible again, and let's see it in the Word of God. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We love the last part, we miss the first part. If, we're back to what the preacher said, I guess, earlier, but if all the members, if 80% of the members, if 50% of the members would just delight in the Lord, just let the Lord be the delight of their life. You know, somewhere along this Christian journey, if you stay at it, somewhere along here, Christ becomes all there is. Amen. I mean, it goes beyond delight, and there's nothing else. But if somehow we could just get our young people and the new Christians to see that there is nothing in this world that you can delight in, but you can delight in the Lord. Amen. And you got such a wonderful promise. Amen. And he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something, preacher, just get a bunch of people that delight in the Lord and preach to them? Amen. Well, you'd preach yourself to death. Amen. I mean, they just delighting in it, just loving it. Just what a wonderful thing. They say, wow, he's opening the Bible. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, didn't even get to say anything, just open the Bible. Amen. But we kind of Bible really doesn't mean much to us, does it? It really doesn't. It's just a tool we carry around, make us look religious. We don't understand it much. Let me give you the principles there. Delight in the Lord. The result, give you the desires of your heart. Now, let me give you the right order. First things first. What do you do first? Yeah, delight. You say, well, I'm waiting for something to delight in. No, no. You delight and go from there. Step on over to Proverbs now in our journey through the Bible. Proverbs chapter 3. We try to teach it to the little children. The old folks can't got it yet. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and verse 10. Now, this one really is amazing. I mean, it's one of those that's so simply profound, we just pass over it. We read, say, oh, that's good, and pass over it. But notice, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That's the principle. The result, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. But we better look at that. We better look at verse 9 a little more carefully. First of all, I want you to note that it says specifically that you can honor the Lord. I can't tell you how many times I've heard someone in sincere conversation say, you know, preacher, I'd really like to know that my life honored the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I won't mind to.
Amen.
But now the only place I find where it definitely says that's right here. And the way you do it, horrors of horrors, is with God's money that you have, with your substance. And so you can honor God, but now look, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the, what is this word? First fruits. Now let's go ahead and just study, since we're this is the steward. Let's just study. The first fruits of all thine increase. What does that mean? That means before Uncle Sam gets hold of it. That means before Blue Cross Blue Shield gets a hold of it. That means before your savings get a hold of it. That means before you pay a bill, that 10% of your gross income every Lord's Day is to be put in the storehouse, at the church house. It's just a simple first fruits, not the leftovers.
Amen.
First fruits, not your net, but your gross. And when you get that done, then you got the promise that your barns will be filled and your presses bursting out with new wine. All right? Let's move on now to Malachi chapter 3. This is not Baptist folks' favorite chapter in the Bible, but it should be a good one for them. Malachi chapter 3. Now, I want to begin reading in verse 6, and I hope you'll just follow along carefully. Now, I know that you know what I'm going to say, but let's see what God says, all right? For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Now, have you discerned the problem they've got already?
Yes.
They're not listening nor obeying the word of God. Okay. So his mercy shows up. He doesn't say, zap, you're out of here. No, he begins a plea. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Watch it now. There's another one of them things. Well, God seems so distant. Well, he hadn't moved. He said, you return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Now, they got a chip on the shoulder. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. See, some folks think if they tithe, they're not robbing God. But you tithe and give offerings. Okay, so here's the result. You are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. But he's still pleading, still trying to get it rectified. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, God has always had a storehouse.
Amen.
He had a storehouse at the tabernacle in the wilderness.
Yep.
The tabernacle worship phased out. He had a storehouse at the temple. Temple worship phased out, and he had the storehouse at the local church. It's still there, has not changed, will not change. That's where you bring your tithes to. So if your membership is at Trinity Baptist Church on Davis Street, Arlington, Texas, that's where the storehouse is. It's not a thing for you to see. It's not an optional thing where you decide how you're going to divide it up and all of that. You just bring it in. And it's most interesting what happens. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith. We've talked about this so often, but it needs to be talked about. I really wish there was just some way that I could really know for sure there is a God. And so God just said, well, won't you prove me?
Yeah. Amen.
Just prove me.
Amen.
Test me. I'll show you. You want to know there's a God? You just bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and I will open you the windows of heaven.
Amen.
And pour you out a... There's another one of those blessing things, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I really do not know how big your room of need is tonight. And I'm not, you know, I may be some dumb, but I'm not plumb dumb. And I know there are people here hurting with need. Now, God said, I'll take care of that need. I'll pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. But he's not through. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. Now that's interesting to me. Who's he going to rebuke the devourer for whose sake? For my sake. He's going to rebuke the devil for my sake. And your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. I like that, delightsome land, don't you? Ought to be when you go to church, you enter a delightsome land. You've come to a delightsome place, and you're going to do what God says. So, listen, the positive principles, verse 10, obedience, the promise, open the windows of heaven, rebuke the devourer, nations shall call you blessed. But the negatives, my. Verse 8 and verse 9, you know. And you're cursed with a curse. No Christian ought to be willing to operate under a curse. You ought not be willing to accept that at all. And you ought to be willing to let God prove himself to you once and for all. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 6. As we journey through the Bible. So very familiar. Matter of fact, it's so very familiar that we've let familiarity steal the message away from us. Matthew chapter 6. Christ is giving the law of provision here. The law simply states that whatever it is that belongs to God, he provides for it. Now let's read it, if you would, here in verse 31. Jesus is teaching, and he says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, you've got a contrast there. Those Gentiles, that's that crowd that doesn't have God as their Father, you know. And he says, now, they seek after all those things. But he said, it's an interesting thing. He said, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Do you suppose tonight that in that bright place called heaven, that God knows what I really need deep down in here? Do you think he knows what I'm dealing with? I mean, we go so far past money now. That broken heart, that broken spirit, and that need of material things. See, because that's what he was talking about. Let's see here. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or What shall we be clothed with? And he said, well, the Gentiles seek after those. Your heavenly Father. See, they don't have a heavenly Father. They have a Creator. They've rejected to this point the heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but seek you first. See, if you're not one of those ungodly folks, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Here's the promise. And all these things. What things? Oh, what you going to eat? What you going to drink? What you going to wear? What you going to drive? Where you going to live? All these things shall be added unto you. That's quite interesting. Wouldn't it be good if that were true? Wouldn't it be true? Wouldn't it be good if we could just trust our Heavenly Father to do what he said he'd do? Wouldn't it be true if you and I could just delight in the Lord to where what we were seeking after was nothing more nor less than the kingdom of God, the rules of God, and his righteousness? We sought after nothing else, and God just added everything we needed to us. That'd be a pretty good way to live, wouldn't it? I wish it were true. Don't you? You say, well, it is. Well, let's act like it then. All right? Let's just act like it. Let's come on down to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, we make our way on our journey through the Bible. Mark chapter 10, nothing new. We've got here a story that has been a blessing and to many and misunderstood by many, but that it's the story of that rich young ruler and all of the confusion that came up there. And Peter began to question the Lord on the fact that they had done what he told that rich young ruler to do, and so he's saying, what's in it for us? In verse 29, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, our brethren, our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands, for my sake and the gospel's. Now, I want you to understand, and I want to remind myself, we're not going to fool God about why we're giving it. Amen. We're giving it to get on the high list so the preacher will notice our name every once in a while. You just might as well forget it. You giving it out of need, you might as well forget it. You see, but if we give it, Jesus said, for my sake and the gospel's, verse 30, he shall receive 100-fold, now let's just get it, now in this time. Now in this time. That's an amazing statement. And we don't have really time, and I'm not going to take time to develop it. But I just want to tell you that's a promise of God. 100-fold return. If you look at your notes, I've tried to just put a little help in there. So, anything you give to him with the right motive shall be compensated somehow, some way, 100 times or made up for 100 times. You can't get away from that. And so, how much? 100-fold. When? Now in this time. And you know, I've heard it, and you've heard it, and all preachers have heard it, and probably most of us have abused a little bit about going to be, you know, millionaires in heaven. You're not going to think about it in heaven. Amen. You're not going to look for a dollar. You're not going to look for a nickel. You're not going to look for a penny. That's not what you're going to be looking for up there. Huh? And we're not going to need it up there. No, sir. All right, let's move on then. Luke chapter 6, and we sure are familiar with that. Luke chapter 6. Hopefully I can find it. Anybody got an old Scofield Bible? Tell me what page it's on. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And here's that four-letter word, give. Now, wait, who's teaching here? Jesus is teaching. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. That's an interesting concept, isn't it? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Nothing mystical. Shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, look at your notes. The command is to give. The promise, it shall be given to you. The principle, same measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. If someone is not receiving enough, the implication is, yea, the plain simple statement is, they got a giving problem. They're not giving enough. For with the same measure you meet withal, it's going to come back, but it's going to be pressed down and shaken together and running over. It's the most amazing thing. Now I need to ask you, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given. Is that a promise of from God? Well, which promise is best, John 3:16 or Luke 6:38? I mean, which one is valid and which one is invalid? Both are valid. So one's as good as the other as far as the promise is concerned. But we spout John 3:16 all over the world, proud to do it. And we kind of duck our head when we thought, well, give and it shall be given to you. We ought not be like that. We ought to understand that that promise that brought us salvation is no better than this promise that'll bring us the blessing of God as far as the validity of it. Now, I know there's nothing that surpasses the promise of salvation. You understand, I'm not belittling that. We're talking about validity. All right. Acts 20 and verse 35, we come to that central beatitude of the Bible. Jesus is teaching. Go ahead and find it. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. We're just taking our journey through the Bible. Now, Acts chapter 20 ought to be required reading and required outlining and required getting it right for every Bible student. But Paul is getting ready to depart from these people. And he begins, I'm just taking up in the middle of it, but look at verse 31. He tells them now, he said, therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, if anybody has a problem with what we do in these 3 nights with the word of God, listen to it again. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Number one, which is able to build you up. Number two, to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. What wonderful spiritual truth. And all of a sudden in verse 33, he said, I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Didn't have to. And he talks about how he worked with his own hands. And then he tells them they need to be doing the same thing and not griping around. He said, I've showed you all things, how that laboring, you ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, that goes against the old nature. That goes against reason. That goes against logic. That goes against all of it. And yet Jesus said, here's the greater blessing. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, you and I need to get hold of that. We need to understand that. We need to tie into that and live with it. Just understand it. Let it be the way that we go. Now, it takes us a long time sometimes to understand that. But when a great need comes in a family, in the church, and the pastor gets up and perhaps even does not call their name, but he says, you know, there's a family in the church. Their house burned. Everything they had in the world is gone. and we want to receive an offering for them. Once you let it get through up here where it can get down here, you understand, man, it is more blessed to give. 10,000 times more blessed to have it in your pocket where you can give it than it is to have to say, could you let me receive something? See, but we get all messed up. Well, we're going to finish up tomorrow in a sort of a brief time, so the pastor can have his time. I wish you'd study the promises right out of the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak to you. And if you're here tonight, somehow, you still haven't quite, and you're really trying. You're really sincere. But somehow, it still hadn't clicked that it is more blessed to give than to receive. It still brings you some discomfort as you work through these things. Then maybe tonight you ought to come and say, now Lord, I've heard promises from Deuteronomy through Acts. We still got a lot of the Bible to go, and promise after promise after promise after promise. And dear Lord, why I'm having problems believing those promises, I'm not sure of. But I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give offerings as you direct me, and I'm going to count on you to rebuke the devourer so I can understand. You can get some help about that if you want to. You just need to do what you need to do. So you bow your head tonight. I want to pray. We get ready for our invitation time. Heavenly Father,